Welcome to the Quick Talk Podcast with Joshua Latimer, where we discuss business, life, family, faith, struggle, fire, pain, and ultimately winning.
It's time to take massive action. Look, I can't work harder on your life or business than you do.
It's ultimately all on you.
You know, God created all the food the birds would ever need, but he doesn't put it in their nest. You've got to go get it.
10 out of 10 people die. So how about doing something today that actually matters while you still can?
Hey, everybody. Josh here. Welcome to the Quick Talk Podcast. I am joined by my son, Maverick. What's up, Maverick?
Hey, Dad. What you doing?
Well, we're out here by our wood boiler because the new house we bought, you have to heat it with wood, and it's kind of cool because we just moved here, but it's also a lot of work, and I'll probably hate this in a year, but no, it's okay. We have propane too, but we're in the middle of the woods. And funny side note, I was going to make a video on Facebook about like when I get this, the fire raging inside of our wood boiler, flames will shoot out the top. There's like this 2 foot tall chimney at the top, and flames will shoot out like a flamethrower. It's really cool, you know, to watch it. But then when I shut the door on the wood boiler, which chokes oxygen off to the fire, immediately the flame goes down, right? Because obviously fire requires oxygen. If there's more oxygen, you can have more fire. And with a boiler, you shut the door and lock it, and it regulates how much air can go in so that the wood doesn't burn really, really fast. But it reminded me of a business thing. And the business thing is that our vision, like our focus on the outcome of what we want with our lives, with our families, like that future painting that's in our brain of what our life could be like, that is oxygen to us. That's oxygen to us. And when we are very clear on what we want and why we're doing it and where we're going and when we're going to get there, and we're just hungry for that reality, it's like having the door open on your wood boiler and the flames are raging and they're shooting out the top and you're just like an unstoppable wrecking ball. And honestly, I'm sure that you guys can relate with that, because when you're excited and you're in the zone, you know nothing can stop you. But there's lots of times, especially with me, where I feel like a feather could stop me. I feel like I'm about to pass out, fall over. I want to give up on my dreams. I want to quit, because guess what? It's hard. It's really, really hard. And so, you know, the theme of this podcast today, I'm going to ask Maverick a few questions, because honestly, he has a lot to share. And he's a really sharp kid. And he's been learning a lot. And he's actually built and sold a company already. In fact, before we moved to Costa Rica, he built and sold a candy machine business. And I'll tell you about that in a second. But the theme of this podcast is I want you to focus on your outcome. What is your desired outcome? Sometimes we forget why we even get up and go to work every day. We completely forget. We just go do stuff all day, come home, go to bed, get up, do stuff. Sometimes years can go by and you've never really asked yourself, why am I doing this? Where am I going? What do I want? Anyway, Maverick, you want to hang out on the podcast and answer a few questions for me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you ready?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay, well, let's talk about before Costa Rica. You were only 7. You're 10 and a half now, okay?
Oh, yeah.
So, like, that's a huge amount of time when you're little to go from 7 and a half or 8 to 10. You've learned a lot, but it all started with the candy machine business. What are your thoughts on your candy? Like, what was your experience like just having that and running it and selling it? Just tell us about that.
So, like, it was pretty cool for just being 7 at the time and just going around with my little work hat that had a picture of my face on it. Dad actually bought me a little mug that had my face on it. I had a little just like jersey slash
like just a uniform, right?
Yeah, I had a little uniform. And every time I'd walk into a business, I'd feel, oh my gosh, I own 5 candy machines in different locations, and I'm making like a decent amount of like quarters for not usually making money at all for how old I am. And I'm
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. And let's, you know, I'm going to ask Maverick in a minute to give us his top 2 tips to share with any other kids. If you have kids, they can listen to this, but the top 2 tips that they need to focus on for them to be successful with a kid business. But before we get to that, tell them about how, before we place the candy machines, Like, we had these candy machines, but they weren't in locations.
Oh.
They're just sitting in my cleaning business office, and I brought you into my office. I'm like, all right, we're going to do this. We got to get these machines placed. And then you had to do what?
Oh, sheesh. Man, this was a little tough for how old I was. I had my dad printed out a script. It was about a paragraph or maybe a paragraph and a half long. And I had to memorize the script every day when I got home from school and in the morning, just read, pretty much. And I didn't really have to do that. Dad didn't make me do it, but I was doing it and I wanted to quit. I was bawling my eyes out. It was tough because I just kept on reading. And then when I went in to this restaurant, and it was a pretty famous restaurant in this tiny town that we lived in called Sagebrush. If you know that place, it's really good. Yummy, yummy. And I'm going in there. I'm walking in. I'm just like, oh, wearing my little uniform. And I say the script perfect. And this has got to be a little disappointing to some. But she wanted the manager. And I said that to the manager. And first time the response was with a no. And that really made me very sad. Right. I was just like, oh, gosh.
That's when a lot of kids would want to give up, I think, because you walked in confident, a cute kid. You read your script to the manager, and they said, no, we don't want your candy machine here.
That was very, heartbreaking to me, pretty much, because I practiced so much time on that. But then I was in the car. I think I was, sad and watery eyes and stuff. And the next day I actually went back over to Sagebrush, and my dad told me this, the best way is to keep following up. And if you follow up, they'll eventually be like, or maybe they won't, but sure. Okay. Let's give it a shot. Let's do this. This might be a good value for us and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they said yes the second time.
So, yeah, we were actually going back to Sagebrush, and you saw the manager again, and you went up to him, right?
Yeah.
And you shook his hand. I remember, I actually saw you do it the second time. I was so proud because, the balls that you had to walk up. I know, awkwardness. But you had some kahunas, man. Took some guts. You walked over there, shook that guy's hand, looked him in the eye, and got the deal done. Do you remember what you felt like after you got that location set?
I felt so proud of myself. I was just like, oh my gosh. This is just like it's overwhelming me with joy and different emotions. I'm just like, oh, I've never really felt this. I actually, somebody just let me place something in their restaurant. And now I actually can start my business. Because I gotta say, there was other candy machines because it's a double door thing, and in there, and they were really crappy. I'm just gonna throw that one out there. Mm-hmm. And they had little newspaper things in there, but the candy machines, they were gross, broken. There's no candy in them. It was just ugh.
But that was an opportunity for you, right? And then I'll fast forward a little bit so we don't bore anybody or anything, but Maverick had this huge breakthrough. He gets the location, and then we end up getting four more locations. We spread them out, and then you started working the business every week. Every Monday, we missed some Mondays for sure, but every Monday we'd go, you'd clean the machines, count your quarters, keep track of the inventory, write it down in your little book. And you did not like doing that after the first few times. You were like, oh my gosh,
this is tough.
Right.
But I learned a lot from that. Let's just say, how many people do you know that have started their own mini business? It doesn't matter if it's just candy business or just a big, huge, car wash business. It doesn't matter. But it's hard to think of mini entrepreneurs and successful adult entrepreneurs that have actually successfully done their business, and you just know them. You're buddies with them.
Yeah.
I don't know who you are, but it's nice to know that there's other people out there that know that you want a dream and that you can accomplish them.
Yeah. And then Maverick ended up selling his company when we were going to move out of the country. We listed it for sale, and a couple of brothers in the town over used their own money to buy your company for $1,200. And briefly tell us what it was like when you were actually holding 12 $100 bills in your hand.
There's no answer to that, really.
It was awesome, though, yeah, right? Okay, so if you were going to do like a coaching call with another kid, and the reason I did this podcast today, too, is to inspire you on what your dream is and to remember your why. Like I said in the beginning, Maverick might not know his whole why for his whole life, right? He's a kid. He's still figuring stuff out. But he does know that when he's 16, he wants to buy a really nice truck. He does know that he wants to have money to give to orphanages that we support and to help people and to have options to buy like the awesome Nerf gun or whatever. And that's an okay why for a kid. Like, you just need something to set your sights on. But Maverick, if you were going to coach another kid and give them your top two tips, let's say, on how they can be successful with a kid business, what would you tell them?
Oh, man, there's a lot of things I could tell them. Let's go down to two basic little things, okay? Number one, lots of kids that I know are very shy. There's new kids that are, like, I am a new kid at my school. We just moved up in near Ludington and Scottville. I'm a new kid. I am very shy. Like, when I'm up talking to people, I talk like this. I, like, talk, mumble, and, like, blah, blah, blah. But there's a lot of kids that are shy out there, and they, when they're at home and they're not being shy, they're just like pumped up and they're just like rocking it out, doing something like crazy, like doing front flips off like the couch or something. They're like energetic and stuff, like, whew. But when they go out in public, they'll mumble and they'll be shy. And the whole point of what I'm saying right here is you gotta kind of learn to not be shy. That's a really big, important thing. And my dad told me that one of the most like embarrassing things that people like have is public speaking, and it's like something like that where most
the biggest fear most people have is speaking in front of other people.
Like me, I cannot like talk straight. If I go on like a huge stage with like just even like hundreds of people, like some people go on with like millions. I mean, and they're just like so energetic. People gotta learn, and not just people, everybody have to learn if they want to be a successful entrepreneur or just any business with that, in that you gotta learn to public speak, not be shy. You gotta have like energy like to speak, and you want it. And here's a big one. You want to speak what you love about. That's like most people go out there, like not all, but some people might go out there for like their boss or something and talking about something they don't like the opposite of that. Are they going to be as good as their potential is? Probably not. So that's pretty much what I got to say right there.
No, that's good. I mean, step outside your comfort zone, right?
Yeah.
Every single day in business, you have to step outside your comfort zone or you're not growing. By definition, you cannot grow. You cannot grow a business unless you're uncomfortable often, right? As soon as you're cozy, that just means you're flatlining. It's not bad. Maybe you want to be flatline. But if you're not uncomfortable, if you're not taking risks, if you're not expanding your skill set, your relationships, your network, if you're not trying new things, doing hard things, if you're not doing that, then you're going to get stuck. So, okay. So your first tip was for shy kids to not be shy and step outside their comfort zone. Do you have like a second tip, you said?
Yes. I have one more tip, and that is my dad has always done this, and this is how we live in this house that we just bought, the sweet house that we just bought. And this is what he said the entire year. Is it worth it? And that's a thing. You might have heard him mention that maybe once or twice or maybe a lot. Is it worth it? My dad worked a year of just like, couldn't even see him at all, hardly. We couldn't do our special days together, Maverick Monday. And it was like, I was just like, oh my gosh, just going to school day after day after day, not seeing dad, not even seeing him some days at all. And it would just be like, oh my gosh. But now we're just living the dream out here, and it is worth it. It was worth it. And it's just, it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I always tell people to do hard things, right? Yeah, how many times have I said that to you?
Oh.
Lots of times.
More than you've ever said it.
And what Maverick's talking about is when we moved back from Costa Rica, I had a lot of money tied up in a couple businesses, lots and lots of money. And we had, you know, money in the bank, and we had just financial things going on where when we moved back to Michigan to buy this property, I wanted to pay cash for it. I wanted to just pay for the whole thing and not get a mortgage or anything like that. So I told my family before we did this, I said, look, I can make this happen, but I'm going to have to work really focused and hard for like a year straight or so. Are you with me? And so as a family, we decided together that we decided that this was worth it, that we wanted to come live in this home and all that stuff. So anyway, Maverick, thank you. Oh, you did a great job. High five. High five.
First time, pretty nervous. Hopefully you think I'm pretty good at this.
You did. You are. You're great, man. And he's a great big brother. He just finished managing a project for me. And I guess we'll wrap up by talking about the project, because what I do with my kids, another tip is I give them responsibility. I don't just say do a chore. Well, sometimes I do. But as often as I can, I make it a thing. And I'll tell them, all right, we got to take the garbage out. There's 10 bags and we have a 1,200 foot long driveway. So it's a whole giant thing. Take garbage out. And I'll say, all right, who wants to be project manager of this task? Or who wants to be project manager of this chore, or this thing that needs to get done? And I'll pick one of them to do it. And I will pay them as a project manager to take care of a task for us, right? And then it's their job to negotiate a pay rate with their brothers. And their brothers can say yes or no, or do it on your own, or I'm not doing it, or whatever. But if they do not complete the job to the quality or expectation that I have, then they don't get anything. But they're still liable to pay their brothers for helping, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not because I'm an evil, cruel parent. I love my kids. We have tons of fun. Yeah. But it's so huge for them to be so young and understand that the real world has actual consequences, that you get paid based on delivering outcomes, results, not just on trying hard or not just on effort. You can't even measure effort. You can only measure results. And when we got home today, I picked them up from the bus. My dog had puked all over one of our nice rugs in our lower level. And it was disgusting. Maverick Project managed that project for me, and it was his job to make sure that his brothers had pristine quality and the puke that they cleaned up and the section that he cleaned up, and he did it, and he's awesome at it. In fact, he's just made $20 doing it, and he doesn't know that yet. But yeah, man. So anyway, guys, listen, I just appreciate all of you, and if you don't have kids, maybe this episode was abstract for you. If you do have kids, what an opportunity to shape them and to set them up for success in the future as they watch you be an entrepreneur. When you step outside your comfort zone, when you do hard things, when you go for it, they're watching you. That's amazing. They're never going to forget it. They're so young, they don't even understand how epic it is what you're doing, but they will. They will. All right. Anyway, guys, I'll talk to you later. Take care. God bless. So want to say bye, Mav?
Hey, bye.
Hey, thanks for hanging out, friends. And from all of us here at the Quick Talk Podcast team, we hope you love today's show. We hope that you were inspired to become a doer and not just a listener. Apply what you've heard today in your own business and watch things change for the better. Lastly, remember that all the money in the world can't save your soul. Seek first the kingdom of God, my friends. We'll see you next time.
For more information about the Quick Talk Podcast or Joshua's other businesses, visit our website, quicktalkpodcast.com. Have a blessed day.